The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I thought once again we would take a look at our first reading from the book of Maccabees. Now, just for those who didn't hear me yesterday, just the briefest of recaps about the book of the Maccabees. Maccabees is the story of what happens in Israel when the Greek authorities try to make the Israelite faith illegal. Now understand, this is so old that the Romans don't rule Israel yet. Right? They're under the rule of the Greeks. So Maccabees is the story of what happens in Israel when the Greek authorities try to make the practice of the Israelite religion illegal. It's the first time in Israel's history in which the people have ever been targeted, not for political reasons, not for ethnic reasons, but purely for religious reasons. Make no mistake, God is in the crosshairs. That's the story of Maccabees. It's the story of how most people just went along with whatever the authorities told them to do. They didn't want conflict. They didn't want to fight. They just wanted their business to prosper and their families to be safe. And just as an aside, it's a little reminder to us that taking a stand and putting up a fight for the sake of a principle does not come naturally to us. God has to stir that up in us. The only thing that comes naturally to us is to cover our own tails, right? This is also part of the story of Maccabees. But it's the story of just a few people who would not go along. And they fought back and stood for their faith, even at the cost of great personal sacrifice. And that's today's story as well. Your first reading today tells you the story of wise old Eliezer. Eliezer, one of the prominent scribes in all the land, 90 years old, respected, revered, and loved, who, like everybody else in the land, was forced to violate his faith, in this case by eating pork. Now remember, these are the days of the kosher laws from the book of Leviticus. Can't eat pork, it's a violation of God's law. But you know what the authorities do to Eliezer? They pull him aside and they say, "Hey, Eliezer, we'll strike you a deal. Tell you what we'll do. We'll swap out the pork for some other food, and you can eat that other food, and you can just tell everybody that you've eaten pork in violation of God's law, and we'll let you go with a wink and a nod." And Eliezer shocks them all by saying no. Not only would he rather die than violate God's law, Eliezer would rather die than give people a bad example. Oh, and boy were the authorities infuriated at Eliezer. And that's just another aside. Secularly minded and worldly people cannot understand any motive other than a selfish motive. It's because if you're not motivated by love of God, the love of self is the only motive left, right? A thoroughly secular and thoroughly worldly-minded person thinks that any motive that isn't a selfish motive is pure insanity. So they're furious at Eliezer. Not only would he rather die than violate God's law, but he'd rather die than give people a bad example. And you know the virtue that's on display here in this first reading today? It's the virtue of integrity. Now, there's a virtue that we hear a great deal about, but we don't often understand. Let's try to understand this a little bit better. What is the virtue of integrity? We hear it all the time. You've got to be a man of integrity. You've got to be a woman of integrity. You know the simplest way to understand integrity? Integrity is the opposite of hypocrisy. That's the simplest way to understand it. Hypocrisy comes from a Greek word that means a stage actor. A hypocrite is somebody who acts out one way in public but is very, very different behind closed doors. The virtue of integrity, by contrast, you ever remember the word integer from your study of math? Integer? It's a Latin word. That's where we get the word integrity. Integer just means a whole. Someone with the virtue of integrity could never be hypocritical because they're only made of one piece. There's nothing in their soul that could possibly violate any other principle because they're seeking one thing. It's actually the way we acquire the virtue of integrity is to remember that only a saint has the virtue of integrity. Only a saint, understand, is morally consistent because they're seeking one thing, the glory of God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. You ever seen people where they poke fun at politicians and celebrities and public figures and they say, ha ha, ha ha, you're morally inconsistent. Look at you. You said one thing in public and you did something completely different in another corner of your life. Newsflash for you here, amigos. We're all morally inconsistent. All of us, until we're saints, we're morally inconsistent because we're seeking mutually contradictory and exclusive things. Right? We want the discipline of the diet, and we also want to finish the bag of Oreos, don't we? Mutually exclusive and contradictory things. That's why the virtue of integrity grows the more you learn what it means to seek God alone. You'll know if you've met someone with the virtue of integrity by the deep peace they exude. It's a signature trait of someone who has the virtue in their soul. They exude deep peace because they're made of one part. This is the virtue that God sees in you. Do you know that? When God looks at you? When God looks at you, he sees the creature he created in perfect integrity. And he keeps calling you to this more and more and more throughout your life. And that's, by the way, an explanation of the gospel that you just heard. Jesus walking through town, and he calls out to Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, who everybody knows is the worst sinner in town, and it's not even close. But Jesus calls to Zacchaeus. And everybody says, oh, he called on a terrible sinner. He's going to eat with the house of a sinner. Jesus sees something in Zacchaeus. He sees the integrity of the good creature he made. Now, if you want to act in God's image, that's the way we need to look at our brothers and sisters, right? Think of the great potential that God has called us to. And he sees this in you. And he ceaselessly calls you to live up to the very, very high standard that he set when he made you. And it's why you'll never have any peace. Because God's not going to give your head any rest. Not until you seek God alone. Not until we learn what it means to seek the integrity in which we were created. Man sees the appearance. God sees to the heart. It's a great comfort when we're misunderstood, but it's a terrible challenge day by day as we remember what God called us to. Let's hear and answer his call, shall we? And ask for the prayers of the saints to help us. St. Margaret of Scotland, pray for us.